Thank you, Eric and the team, for leading us in worship this morning. I recognized something this morning when I was getting ready for church. I recognized that I don't try and dress up too often. I came out after putting my tie on this morning, and my granddaughter, Adeline, comes up to me and says, "Wow, Poppy, you look fancy. Are you going to a wedding or something?" It is nice to be able to dress up once in a while, but it's even more of a privilege to be able to open God's Word with you. We're going to continue in our series on the book of Genesis today. And as we think of Genesis and the beginning, there's so much of it that has drawn me in to look deeper into the rest of God's Word. There is so much that points to our need for what we just sang about, for God's grace. When we were singing, "Dark is a stain that I cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Lo, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today." As a Christian, what a glorious thing we can proclaim. We're going to witness that later with the baptism of a couple people here, where they proclaim God's goodness and mercy in their lives. And if you're here today and you don't really understand that, I pray that God would open your eyes and you'd be able to see that today as we go back to Genesis, as we look at the beginning, and as we recognize that God meant this for us today. Our scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 6. You'll notice we skipped over chapter 5. I will be referring to chapter 5, but we're going to read chapter 6, verses 9 through 22. I did not, again, look in the Pew Bible to see what page number that is, but it is the beginning of the Bible, so it's page number 5. Then, thank you. But it is at the beginning of the Bible, and I figured most of you would be able to find that. We'll be reading the account of Noah, starting in verse 9 of chapter 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark on its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, and of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them." Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Let's open with a word of prayer. God, I am truly humbled to be able to share your word with this congregation today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony that we see here of Noah. And we pray as we delve into who Noah was, that you will also help us to understand the character of God through this. We thank you that we can have your word to read freely in this country. And we pray for those that are oppressed around the world, Lord, that your word may be known, may be memorized, may be put in the hearts of people. And Lord, we thank you that this can be done both here and abroad. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I came up here today, I talked to one of our members, and I said, I may embarrass you a little bit today, and I really don't mean any offense by it. And I realized as I was preparing my message that I am no different than the person that I'm maybe poking fun at. When I was a kid, we used to talk about, he's as old as Methuselah. Some of you who laugh can appreciate that. It might show that we are maybe that person. So how old was Methuselah? Methuselah, every kid that I went to church with knew that Methuselah was the oldest one recorded in the Bible, lived to be 969 years old. Methuselah. Old as Methuselah. That meant you were old as dirt when I was a kid. When I was 5 or 10, man, you were old. Did you ever have those people in your church that never seemed to age? They always were old? I won't pick on Gladwin. We like to tease Gladwin about that. But then I realize, I'm a grandpa. I am that person that many of you little kids will look at and say, you were always that old bald guy. Maybe you'll say that. He was old as Methuselah. It is one of those things that helps us to remember who Methuselah was. So when you think of Methuselah, I hope you don't think of me, but you maybe will think of Noah. And you say, well, why would I think of Noah if we're talking about Methuselah? Ah, there's a history lesson in it for everyone today that may not understand the history. Noah was of the 10th generation after Adam and Eve. He was the grandson of Methuselah. Think about that. He was the grandson of the oldest one recorded in the Bible. That truly is amazing when you think of that. Methuselah himself was 187 years old when he had Lamech. Lamech was 182 years old when he had Noah. Just think of the broad spans of the years. We're going to look at who Noah was today. We're going to see what kind of man he was, that he was a man of God, and we're going to look at the covenant that God made with Noah. I'm showing my age by having to put my glasses on to read. We do judge a lot of things by age. A lot of times we say with age comes wisdom. Other times with age comes frailty. Last Sunday we had the privilege of going with the VBS kids and all the helpers up to Robles. And the residents up there just loved to see the kids. See them, even though they were antsy, they were sitting on the ground, but they sang and It was a great treat for the residents up there. Even my granddaughter said, you know, we should get great-grandma to come up to Robles because there's a lot of people like her up there. Mom, we're not talking about bringing you up there to stay, just a visit. But we do have a certain respect for age. But how was age different back then? I mean, how do you respect old age when everyone was old? Times were different back then. God had man living much longer. So why do I spend all this time talking about Methuselah, the old guy? And how does that relate to Moses? Or to Noah, I mean? I'm jumping ahead. Methuselah was really young, relatively, when you think of when Noah was born. If he lived to be 969 years, Noah was born when he was 369 years old. You think about that. He wasn't even middle-aged yet when Noah was born. So how does understanding the times with the ages being so prolonged, how does this help us to understand who Noah was? Well, the first point I want to consider today and cover is I want to talk about Noah the man. We're going to take a peek back into chapter 5. If you want to turn there, we're going to read a few verses, but we're going to see a little bit about Noah's ancestry. Noah's great-grandfather was Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch was a man who walked with God. In fact, in chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, we see the record of Enoch. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You think about that. He walked with God and was not. There's no recording of his death. This is a man who walked with God and God took him. This only happened a couple times in the Bible's history. Noah had the lineage of a godly great-grandfather. We see Enoch as maybe quite a role model for Methuselah to pass this on to his grandson Noah. Verse 28 of chapter 5 says, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, now here's the kind, Noah the man. This is what was said about Noah when he was born. Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. So that's what was said about Noah the man. And I do believe it's important to understand the history of the time. This is the time when God has the population growing. I heard a message about how our population has grown from, I don't even know how much population we have on the earth, 7 billion or something like that now. But it's grown, even through my lifetime, by so much, by billion. But God needed the earth populated, and he had said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And this was the result of it, where all these generations would continue having kids longer and later into their life, and more people would do that to therefore populate the earth. We only know of Noah fathering three kids from the record of the Bible. He fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which we found recorded in our passage for today. But But he did that after he was 500 years old. I don't know about you, but yes, I'm an old guy to these little ones. But as I get older, I just don't have the stamina to keep up with the two-year-old, or keep up with all the things you need to do to keep a household. I was telling Jim Rabouin before the service how I was working on my deck yesterday, and I just felt so sore already today, and I just ended up putting deck down in a 40-square-foot area. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to take me forever. I'm getting older. I'm feeling the results of age. This is Noah, the man who is 500 years old. He's fathering three kids. And this is about the time that God says to Noah from our passage, I want you to build an ark. And I'm thinking, man, that would take a long time. Well, it did take Noah a long time. But God, in his infinite wisdom, he also had plans for this. He gave him the time. God was so long-suffering. He grieved for the population that was corrupt. There were so many things going wrong. The sin was prevalent. We can look in our culture today and say, man, the sin is prevalent in our culture. As we'll see later in the passage, we see that God had promised that he will never again have such a terrible thing happen like the flood. But there will be a time of reckoning, a time of redemption, where our redemption is realized, and a time of reckoning where man that doesn't know Christ, that doesn't have Christ as their personal Savior, will face the wrath of God. So as a man, Noah was old, we understood. He was also a father after 500 years old, and he was a hard worker because he worked on this ark. But I want you to put it in a little perspective, working on this ark. I always go to Jim as the builder here. He can understand and appreciate the organization that it might take and the time that it takes, and the transporting of materials, and all that stuff that it takes to put it together. But to do it in the time that we're reading, in the time of history, is a totally different story from what we would do today. Most of you have heard about the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. I haven't been there. I long to go there sometime. I read a little bit about the Ark Encounter. Company called Colorado Timber Frame, they were contracted to build this ark. And one thing that caught me, it says, employees work for 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, for 11 months straight, just to cut the wood for the ark project, of the Ark Encounter. Can you imagine that? They have all the machinery that we have available today. They worked 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, for 11 months just to gather the wood for this project. When you think about that, you think, okay, how did Noah do it? Just logically think of, okay, I'm going to cut down a few trees close to me because, you know, then I don't have to drag them so far. They had a crew of up to 45 people cutting this wood, getting all this, trying to gather it, and they had 180 semi-loads of wood hauled from Colorado to Kentucky to have this done. Can you think of how Noah would have gotten this wood over to the job site? It just baffles my mind when I try to think of that. So the perspective is Noah is doing this as a man. This is no different than we are, but he's doing it because he's being faithful to God. God called him to do it, as we saw in our passage. You know, as you think about that Ark Encounter, as I read about it, part of the reason that this Colorado timber frame company was, they won the bid is because they were one of the few companies in North America that had big enough machinery to handle this. Big enough machinery. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. That's about what they had. Noah's family, a man contracted to build the ark by the living God. And Noah's faithful to say, yeah, I'll do it. We see in verse 22 of our text, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. He didn't question it. One of the first sermons I ever heard about Noah, it was, can you imagine? Here's Noah building this big boxy-looking boat. God gave him the dimensions to build it. He's building this huge thing, and the friend's going by. Hey, old man, what are you doing? What are you building? I'm building an ark. What's an ark? Well, it's a boat. It's something that will float. They hadn't experienced rain. They hadn't had the floods that we recognize around the Mississippi and other parts of the country. No, they didn't have that context that we do. So I remember in this sermon that the preacher was saying, I imagine Noah was poked fun at. They would tease him saying, man, you're just a crazy old kook. Building a boxy boat? Can't imagine what you're building that for. Noah did this, and he did all that God commanded him. Noah was faithful to the belief that he needed to obey God. That brings me to point number two. We see Noah as the man. Now let's look at Noah as the man of God. When you think about that term, the man of God, Noah was a sinner, just like me, just like you. There wasn't anything special apart from God's redemption, God's grace in saving his life. To dig a little deeper into this, how Noah was considered a man of God, I want you to look up to the verses. To verse 5 of this chapter. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I have made them. This is God's reaction to sin. God recognizes sin as an affront to him, to his holiness. So much that God, it says, regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. This is a look forward to how God views sin in our lives. But then we come to the redemption part. We come to God's saving grace in Noah's life. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Again, I want to be clear, Noah wasn't a perfect person. Noah was a sinner, and if you read later, we get to different things where Noah's sin of drunkenness causes one of his sons to sin, and on so our life goes. We all deserve the sentence of death that was being proclaimed on the earth at this time, and that it was being handed down to everyone except Noah and his family. A preacher from Minnesota named John Holtke, he stated in a sermon on the flood, now before I say his statement, we like to kind of idolize the story of Noah. It's just a great story. We get two animals. I mean, who doesn't like animals? There's two of all the animals, and most homes have little ark and maybe figurines of the two animals. I bought some of those when I was traveling in Liberia. They were carved out of mahogany. I got not quite to scale because the monkeys are just as big as the hippos. But I bought that for my grandkids to play with. The story of Noah is kind of a neat story when you look at it. This preacher, John Holtke, said, Noah and the Ark is not a children's story. Think about that for a while. It's not a children's story. And John Piper had stated a little bit further, it is one of the most terrifying and tragic stories of God's wrath in the Bible. Let that sink in for a while. It is a terrifying. We see Noah and his family. We see, oh, it was fun to make fun of the guy building the boat. It's neat to talk about the animals going on the ark. All of mankind, all of animals, everything would be wiped out by this flood, except for 8 people. It is one of the most terrifying and tragic stories that we can read. But that's why Noah finding favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord is so important for us to recognize. That each person here today, without God's grace in our lives, we face that total annihilation of our lives. We face God's wrath, which is what he poured out on the earth. God was fed up with man's sin. We learned earlier in Genesis about the fall and God's response to sin. We saw the continuation of sin when Cain killed Abel. And now, after the earth is growing and being populated, we see the Lord regretting that he had created man. It puts things in a different light when we see Noah as a man of God. That's what I mean. He was a man of God. He was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not through his doing, but through God's love and care for him. If you turn to chapter 7, after God tells Noah that it's time to go in the ark, Noah is at this time 600 years old. So he's, you know, relatively young compared to his grandfather. Again, we see in verse 5, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah continues to listen and obey God. That's what God's calling us to do. He's not saying for us to question what he has for us in our lives. He's not saying that we should say, whoa, wait a minute, that's something I can't do. We talked in the discipleship hour today, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not, I think we sometimes focus on the I can do rather than through Christ. Through Christ, I can do this. Through Christ, I can do all things. I can weather the storms. Pastor Fred read an article about Paul when he wrote this. It was not a time of great joy in his life. It was the time in prison. I can do all things. I can handle this through Christ. Noah says, I can do this through God. It is not through Noah's strength, through his building prowess. It's not anything to do with him. And it's everything to do with God. Because Noah listened to and obeyed God. Now here we are. God tells Noah, go in the ark. And God fills it with the animals. I know too many times as a child, I would think, how did Noah go rope them up? And, you know, did he go out and catch them and drag them on? God tells Noah first to go in the ark, and then God brings the animals. He had Noah there to care for them. He had Noah there to make sure that his creation survived to reproduce, even though he was going to annihilate the rest of the world. We recognize that we are frail. As I said, just working on my deck, my knees were hurting so bad. At the end of the day, I had to get to a wall to help me stand up. And I think, man, God, how can we do some things in our life? Through Christ, I can do all things. It's not that I'll ever be a deck builder by trade. It's that I can do what God calls me to do because I know that he can. We also see Noah as a man of God, as a labored by obeying God through so many years. You think building that ark didn't happen very fast. We're talking years. Some estimates are the 50. He was told about it, and God said that in 120 years I will be destroying the earth. And Noah was told about it when he was around 500, and at 600 he was entering the ark. So a 100-year span. I want you to really understand that. So some estimates were 55 to 75 or 80 years of construction work just to build it. And Noah did this and all that the Lord commanded him to do. I believe God records the account of Noah and the flood to show us what his wrath looks like. Romans chapter 3 says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. In our strength, in our ability, no, we aren't able to. None is righteous. But we have our righteousness through Christ. Noah did as God commanded. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In chapter 7, as we witness God's wrath on sin for the entire world, it's chilling and somber to think. But yet, the redemption story of Noah and his family should cause us to revel in what God did for us. We're not righteous. We're told that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're told that. But we know that God has forgiven us. As Christians, we know this. And if you don't know this today, I pray that God makes it real, that you recognize the need for redemption. God's redemption is on display starting in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 8. And I'm not going through all the flood and the letting the birds out and how long the rain and the 40 days, 40 nights. Read through the account. It is a great history lesson for you kids to read through. But more than that, I want you to see God's redemption through this. Chapter 8, verse 8. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were closed, and the rain from the heavens was restrained. We saw in our discipleship hour in Psalms, it talks about how God controls the mountains, the seas, the rivers. God controlled the water, and he caused it to cease, to be restrained. Because God remembered Noah. After many more days now, Noah is finally allowed to leave the ark. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Can you imagine that time? The quietness on the earth. All humanity, all living things wiped out. Nothing living except what was encapsulated on this crazy idea that Noah was possibly told. We see life springing forth again. Noah and his family alone survived the greatest cataclysmic force ever unleashed upon the earth. The flood would forever change the earth. Maybe this is the do-over that God would use to cleanse the world of sin. No, the sin was still there. But the model of the flood is very similar to what we will witness after our service today, right out here. We will see two people proclaim God's work in their lives, much as Moses or Noah did. They will publicly tell of how God redeemed them. And this will be followed by believers' baptism. We will see on display what Peter stated in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." This baptism, signified by the immersion in water, is reminiscent of God's cleansing the earth through the flood. As in the flood, sin isn't eradicated. Neither will baptism wash away your sin, but it is an act of obedience, showing your reliance on the work of Christ and not of anything that we did. Noah had his faith in the God who commanded him to do these things. Noah was not a sinless man. His sin wasn't eradicated. We see Noah as a man of God because he obeyed God. So much so that in Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes called the honor roll of faith, Hebrews 11:7 states, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." We become an heir of the righteousness by faith, not by what we see. Noah didn't understand what was to come. Rain and the fountains opening up hadn't been experienced. This was all new. But by faith, Noah became an heir of the righteousness of God. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah did all that God commanded him to do. Noah, through his obedience to God, was saved from destruction. Noah, through his faith in God, became an heir of righteousness. And that brings me to my third point today. God's covenant with Noah. Turn with me to the end of chapter 8, verse 20. We went through a tremendous time of history today, many, many years. And now, as new life is beginning on the earth, starting in verse 20 of chapter 8, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And drop down a few verses. Verse number, I jumped into chapter 9 there. Drop down to verse number 8 in chapter 9. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of my covenant, of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. As we read this, the end of the history of the flood, we again see God's redemption on display. He declares in verse 12 that the covenant he makes with Noah is also for us today. It's for, as the Bible says, for all future generations. It's carrying to us today. It's a reminder of God's redemption of Noah. We have the benefit of being reminded when we see a rainbow in the sky. The next time you see that, the next time you look up during a storm, after a storm, and you see the rainbow, sometimes there's a double rainbow. Maybe that's God saying, I really want you to remember this time. But you think about that. Think about the devastation that caused the death of every living thing that wasn't in the ark and how sin is dealt with. As Romans tells us, the wages of sin is death. We deserve that same death as those in the time of the flood. But God, being rich in mercy, he grants us redemption through his Son. May you never forget that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for Noah and the example of your redeeming love. May we be as obedient, as faithful. May we be counted as righteous, not because of our righteousness, Lord, but because of yours. And may we as a congregation go forth and teach others as Noah did. And Lord, may you bring the increase. I pray as we continue our worship today and go out to witness the baptism, may we appreciate the proclamation of salvation from believers, identifying themselves with Christ, being buried in the likeness of Christ, and being raised in the likeness of new life. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As we stand and sing this last song, I'm going to have